For the introduction, it's kind of an interactive one because I'm going to give you describe some biblical characters, and I just like you to write down their names, and from the following descriptions, the first one is over 8 feet tall, carries a shield weighing 125 pounds, and the spearhead of his spear weighs 15 pounds. No, that isn't me. You probably wrote down Goliath. He was short in stature, ruddy, and had a great zeal for God's way. He also killed a lion and a bear while watching over the herds of the sheep. You probably put down King David. He was extremely strong and had long hair, and at his death he killed more Philistines than during his lifetime. Probably put down Samson. Was zealous in serving the New Testament churches, was single, and had problems with his eyesight. Paul. He had silver hair, was not tall in stature, was gentle, and served the San Diego brethren. Edwin Pope. Edwin Pope was truly a gentleman. And not only that, a gentleman. And I want to give some examples. Even when he was correcting someone, and I was happened to be there on occasion, he had a real genuine gentleness about him. And he did it with sort of an ease. And he wasn't harsh. And yet he could get to the root of a problem to resolve it in such a gentle and unharsh way. And I remember one time, well, when I first met him, the first time I ever met Edwin Pope, actually we were at the hotel just north of the office, and I'd gotten there in the afternoon, and I was talking to Mr. Link, and he says, Edwin should be here any minute now. So anyway, I was standing in a doorway, and here comes this man walking towards me, and he looks at me, and he says, "You've got to be Renee." He says, "I recognize you from the pictures." He says, "I'm Edwin Pope," and he gave me a hug. And, you know, I felt this love and warmth from the man, and I thought, wow, you know, I'd never met him, but the first encounter, how you have these impressions. And another time, I don't know if it was on the same occasion, Mr. Link and I and Edwin Pope, we went to a restaurant. It was just a fast food restaurant, and we were there with our trays, and we got our hamburger and our chips, and Mr. Link and I sat down. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, where's Edwin? And I thought maybe he had gone to the washroom. So here he comes with ketchup and salt that we had forgotten. And I thought, what a guy. You know, here he is. You know, he's a senior pastor. We're younger than him, and he's serving us because we forgot to bring the salt and the ketchup. And I just, you know, that just stuck with me. He was really a true gentleman. In our lives, we're supposed to exhibit the mind of Christ, as it mentions in Philippians 2, and I'd like you to turn there. In Philippians 2, in verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And this is an admonition from Paul saying, let the mind of Christ be in you. And it's so easy to have other minds, but he was saying, listen, you've got to have the mind of Christ. Also expounded in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And also in 2 Peter 2, a few pages over, in 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 2, it says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the ungodly world, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tortured his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So we have an example of he was, because of their deeds, it really affected him in a negative way. And also in 1 Peter 3, going back to 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Here again, reflecting on the mind, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, and in verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So these are some of the attributes of the mind of Christ, which are further reflected as the fruits of the Spirit, which are mentioned in the book of Galatians. And those are found in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And yet, what were we like before our conversion? And the attributes that we had are found in verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Of course, that would never apply to any of us in the past. You know, none of us had tempers. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, and that's the key word, practice, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So although we may have not been guilty of practicing all these things that are mentioned here, because, I mean, I don't think I killed anybody, but in the spirit of the law, if you hated someone, you effectively killed them. That was what our mind was like in the past. Now, you will notice one of these fruits is gentleness in verse 23. So today I want to discuss the fruit which we should all exhibit and which was so evident in our beloved senior pastor, Edwin Pope. The words gentle, gentleness, gently are used 11 times in Scripture in the Old King James Version of the Bible. Gentle is used 5 times in the New Testament. Gentleness is used 4 times, twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. Gently is used twice in the Old Testament only. Now, altogether, they convey several different facets of the word gentleness as we understand it today. So let's begin in where we're already at, in Galatians 5:23, it says gentleness. And this is Strong's number 5544, which conveys excellence of character or demeanor, gentleness, goodness, and kindness. That's what this particular word actually reflects. Another New Testament usage of this word is found in 2 Corinthians. And I'd like to turn there. There will be a test after this, so you've got to... 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, it says, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you." Notice he states he was pleading with them with the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. These are characteristics of our loving Savior and also those that we should have. Here, gentleness is Strong's 1932, which carries the meaning of mildness, clemency, and mercy, and also gentleness. And you notice he said that, he says, in the presence, I take it that for some reason people were not that impressed with his presence when he spoke, but his letters were awful powerful. And this is what he's, you know, relating here. But yet he still had this lowly presence, but he had this meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we know that meekness is not weakness. And these are the attributes that he had. The other two places gentleness is used in the Old Testament, as in the Old Testament, and the first place is in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22. In 2 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 32. This is David speaking. He says, "For who is God except the Eternal, the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on high places." And verse 35, "He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great." Notice Christ's gentleness has made David great, who wrote this particular prayer. Here, this word is Strong's 6031. And which has the meaning of abase, humble self, submit self. For example, that is linked to humility. And let's just turn over to Matthew 18 in regards to this particular aspect. In Matthew 18 and verse 1, it says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Obviously, it was a concern as to who was going to have, you know, the biggest crown or the most cities. "And Jesus called a little child and said to them, child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" So here we see that greatness is achieved through humility. We know that when Christ was on earth, he humbled himself by giving up his divinity. He submitted to God's will, not his own, as is mentioned in Matthew 26. If you'd like to turn there with me, in Matthew 26 and verse 42, it says, "He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" So it's obvious that from a physical point of view, why would you want to go through this torture and being scourged and crucified if you didn't have to? But knowing that he'd have to go through that, What did he say? Not my will, not what I want, but your will. Totally submissive to the will of the Father. The other Old Testament scripture using this word is found in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, verse 31, beginning in verse 31, it says, "For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and sets me on high places. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of salvation, and your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my path under my feet so that my feet do not slip." So this phrase in verse 35, "your gentleness has made me great," is the same phrase as used in the other 2 Samuel. Exactly the same phrase. Only it uses a different Hebrew word. It's exactly the same phrase, but it uses a different Hebrew word. It uses Strong's 6038, which means gentleness, humility, meekness, which is a further expansion of the meaning of gentleness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 in reference to meekness. In Matthew 5 and verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So there's a great inheritance for those that are meek, which is the earth. Of course, we understand by expansion of this verse, it's ruling with Christ on the earth in the government of God. Also in Matthew 11, in verse 29, Christ speaking, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And the way it is rendered in the Old King James Version is, "Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's why this particular word "gently" here is not part of this sermon, because it's not in the Old King James Version. It actually says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He's not proud. He's not arrogant. He's meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. Now let's look at the word "gentle" as it's used in Scripture. It is used exclusively in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians 2 is the first place that it's used. In 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." This is Paul speaking. "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much comfort." I mean, conflict, I should say. "For our exhortation did not come from deceit or uncleanliness, nor was it in guile. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." And in verse 5, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Now, when you picture that verse, you know, a cherishing mother nursing her child, you know, you get a different concept of gentleness. And in this particular application, it's Strong's 2261, and it means affable, mild, kind, and gentle. This same word is also used in 2 Timothy 2. And in verse 24, and if there was a verse 24, oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. I was going to say, wait a minute. In verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, and it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and also patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that you may know the truth. And notice how it says here, in humility correcting those that are in opposition, and how I was mentioning about Edwin, how even when he was correcting it, he did it in such a way that it was easy for the recipient to accept the correction because of the manner in which he spoke. I mean, I could pay you a compliment in such a way that you get turned off. You're in the reflection of your voice and your mannerisms and your body language. But this is in regards to a servant of the Lord, affable, mild, kind, and gentle. And affable means easy of conversation, admitting others of free conversation without reserve. In other words, allowing the other person to express himself without, you know, reserve, putting a stop on it. Courteous, of easy manners. Gentle is also used three times in with Strong's 1933, and that is found in Titus. A few books over, Titus 3. It says, starting in verse 1 of Titus 3, it says, remind them to be patient to rulers and authorities, to obey, which is in some circles a bad word, to obey, to be ready for every good work. In verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility, not just to family and friends, but to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was some of the activities of our past. So the meaning here is Strong's 1933 also, which means appropriate, mild, gentle, moderation, and patience. And I'd just like to turn over in regards to patience, in regards to the saints, over in Revelation 2. All these synonyms of gentle, they have such deep meaning, and when you could probably, if you went into every one, you'd go on forever, which I don't plan to do, because each one has great depth and meaning of itself. But in Revelation 2:2, it says, speaking to the church of Ephesus, it says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So we can see by this, and also in the same chapter in verse 19, of the importance of the aspect of patience. in verse 19 of the same chapter, Revelation 2, it says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last more than the first. So I guess they had more patience at the end than they had at the beginning, which is commendable. Oh, I've got patience. Just don't bug me. Over in 1 Peter, bug me. When I was raising our kids, my daughter would, when you have kids, those of us have had children, they just look at each other, and my daughter would say, Mom, he's bugging me. He's bugging me, because he was looking at her. I mean, and then my wife would say, don't worry about it, but he's bugging me. Well, she'd say, well, what's he doing? Well, he's looking at me. children, great to have. Don't have any more than 10. Yeah, right. Okay, this is, we're in, let's see, where are we? Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. So this is an admonition to servants to just, don't just be submissive to those that are kind and good to you, but sometimes your boss is not necessarily the kindest, most gentlest individual, but the admonition is here is be submissive and put up with it. This is the same Greek word as above, which is Strong's 1933. James, the book of James, has another application of this word. James 3, and beginning in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So he's talking about the things that come from above, obviously come from God and having God's Spirit in you. And this is the same word as the two above scriptures, which is appropriate, mild, gentle, moderation, and patient. And you notice, as you look at these words, as you go on, the meanings get expanded every time we go to a different one, and yet it's still one word. And yet the meaning, depending on its application and the word that is used in Strong's, expands the meaning of it. The word gently is also used twice in the Old Testament. The first one is found in 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 18. And verse 5, it says, now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders regarding Absalom. Now this was King David ordering in regards to the disposition of his son Absalom, who had rebelled against him. And this is Strong's 38:14, and it means softly or tenderly, silently, has those meanings. And also in Isaiah 40, which is probably my favorite spot where these words are expressed because of the beautiful way it's expressed here. In Isaiah 40 and verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And in verse 11, He will feed his flock like a shepherd and will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. Now, you can imagine a shepherd carrying a little lamb in his arms. And this is, you know, how the picture he's trying to portray, that Christ, you know, at his return is picking up, you know, leading his servants like a shepherd takes the lamb, you know, in a gentle and a mild and a soft way. And it's just amazing. So we look at all these words which describe variations of gentleness. And you come up with a list of 23 characteristics of that word. So here's the test. You've got 30 seconds to write those 23 characteristics down. But I'll read them. You get into something you don't realize how it expands, but those gentleness and gently convey 23 different meanings. And these are them. Gentle, gently, gentleness, softly, humble, affable, which is easy of conversation, admitting others' free conversation without reserve, which is allowing the other person to speak his mind without interrupting and putting him down. Mild, moderation, meekness, mildness, patient, excellence of character or demeanor, goodness, kindness, clemency, mercy, tenderly, silently, appropriate, kind, abase, humble self, submit self. All from those, basically the root of gentleness. I'd like you to turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, submitting to one another in the fear of God." This is how we conduct ourselves in the ministry, and this is how Edwin Pope conducted himself, which is another attribute of gentleness. In our Christian walk with Christ, we are admonished in God's Word to develop the fruits of the Spirit, which are a reflection of the mind of Christ and also of God. One of these fruits mentioned in Galatians 5 is gentleness, which we have seen has many facets to it. We as God's children should strive to develop every facet of that word. Our senior pastor, Edwin Pope, exhibited the fruit of gentleness in his life and was a true gentleman in every sense of the word. We would do well to emulate that fruit in our lives and the fine example he set for us.